Hello, and welcome to Boss Madle, where I sit down and get real with some pretty amazing, creative women entrepreneurs. So grab yourself a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and get ready to be inspired. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 13th episode of Boss Madle. Today, I sit down with Chaya Quinsky, who is a creative director and head designer of Tav Furniture, and she shares her amazing story from where she started as a preschool teacher to joining her husband's then small furniture company and how the two of them have really grown it into the huge success that it is today. And before we start the interview, I just want to talk a little bit about the topic of sharing. So in last week's episode with Danielle Renoff of Peas, Love, and Carrots, we had touched briefly upon this topic of people perhaps sometimes oversharing a little too much on social media. And it really is a very personal decision and choice. I think it's something that has to be made without any pressure. Everyone is very different. And I think some people are fantastic at sharing their journeys and their experiences, and they really were meant to raise awareness for a particular topic. On the other hand, sometimes I think we do feel a pressure to show a little more of ourselves, to appear more relatable. And if we feel comfortable and lighter and happier doing so, that is great. However, there are times when we can regret it. And that happened to me last week when I shared a little bit about my experiences. I had been working too hard, drinking a little too much coffee, not exercising, not taking care of myself. And so I was experiencing a little bit of low-grade anxiety. Nothing too much, but it was a little uncomfortable for me. And after sharing it with everyone, I certainly did not feel lighter or happier. In fact, I felt like I had just shared something that was maybe a little too private, something that I was going through currently. And probably I would have felt better just picking up the phone and talking to a close friend. And so I did remove that series on my Instagram stories, and I felt better about it. And so I now know that I have to try to find that balance of what I feel comfortable sharing and what I feel better keeping to myself or sharing with a close friend or family member. One part of sharing, though, that I do think we can never have enough of is the idea of sharing resources, information, and advice, one woman to another, be it in business, in parenting. I think it is so incredibly important. And one of the things I loved about Chaya is at the end, she said, if there's any woman out there who needs advice on manufacturing overseas or buying from overseas, I'm so happy to help them and share my advice with them. And kudos to you, Chaya, because, you know, we often come from a place of, especially when we're an entrepreneur, of looking at someone else with, you know, that competitive eye. And I think rather than looking at each other as competition, we really can build each other up and help each other grow and expand. And I know myself, I had a fantastic mentor when I started interior design who literally would take me on job sites and show me flaws and errors that a contractor had done and explain to me how she would fix it. She literally would sit down and draw floor plans and furniture, custom-made furniture, and explain to me how everything was done. And I, to this day, am so incredibly grateful for that opportunity. And I have tried to help other young interior designers. I have shared my contract with them and some of my paperwork and procedures. And I think the more that we can reach out to one another and build each other up, we will get so much more done and we can accomplish so much more by doing so. So without further ado, let me introduce Chaya. Chaya Quinsky is the creative director and head designer of Tav Furniture. Tav has shaken up the furniture market with her innovative designs, friendly customer service, and affordable, comfortable, quality pieces. Tav has a huge fan following and has collaborated with some of the design industry's biggest names. Chaya, welcome to the show. Hi, Chaya. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, Hani. Thanks for having me. This is like a real honor. We go way back and this is pretty awesome.
Yes, we really do. So I have to say, I'm coming into this with just, I'm so comfortable and this should be really fun. We'll see where it goes.
Bonnie, this is great. I love this. We're years down the line and this is where we're at.
I know. So for listeners who don't know about you, can you take us back a bit and tell us, you know, how you got into the furniture business in general and how did you grow your brand, Tav Furniture in particular?
Sure. So I believe it or not, I began my career as a preschool teacher. At the time, it was all about paying the bills. And I actually went to school and got my bachelor's in education. And I absolutely loved being a preschool teacher. I did that for 10 years. And about 8 years in, my husband, Bruce, it was at the height of the recession, and we really needed to make sure our car wasn't going to get repoed. So he, always being an entrepreneur, and he's very gutsy, he bought a furniture website off of a older gentleman who had no idea about the internet and decided he was going to work it and make some money off of it. He brought in my brother, Ari, who was in COLA at the time and completely did not know the first thing about business or furniture, as well as his younger brother, who was super young at the time and did not know a thing about being in IT. So the three of them worked really hard, and they really worked the business to get to where it is today. And they are an Inc. 5000 company, and went from the three of them, and they have over 200 employees now, and it's pretty amazing to see. They, about 4 years into that venture, my husband started realizing that there was this very large void in the marketplace for affordable, stylish furniture that was easy to put together and really just easy on the eye, but easy on the wallet as well. So one fine Sunday morning, he ordered a container from China with absolutely no warehouse to put it into, and he just accepted it into some random 3PL in California and sold the goods within a few weeks. His first website he was ever on was overstock.com, and from there he really learned a lot from that particular experience, and that's how it all began. And after a year of him doing it all alone, he made a very fun looking catalog, which was super male oriented. And in the front cover of it, there was my picture as a designer. So I came home one fine day after working in school and saw my picture as a designer. So I took that as a sign that I kind of had to get involved. Yes. This is something I always loved doing. So that was that. I switched careers and joined his team.
So that's quite a story. So essentially, once you saw yourself on the cover, is that when you kind of dived right in into becoming the creative director for the company?
So at the time, it was really just himself and a man named Steven, who's still with us. He's wonderful. And that was it.
Okay.
So being a person who doesn't mind wearing a lot of hats, I kind of did a lot of different things at the time. When I joined, I was only working for about 2 days of the week with them, just because there wasn't a lot to do, just being the startup. And Bela, who's currently the girl boss here, seriously, she was 19 years old when she joined, and she joined at the same time as I did. So we worked cohesively, and then the hours started picking up, and then my role started naturally just forming.
Right, right. Wow. So, you know, was there a particular fear or challenge that you faced when joining the company or building what you have built? I mean, essentially, it seems like you kind of learned on the job.
Yes, we absolutely did. We are like a true kind of an entrepreneurial story, all in all. We don't have any furniture background. Both of our parents are not in the business. And the furniture industry is typically, I mean, when I say typically, I mean 90% of the people we know, this was handed down to them. So their parent or grandparent is in the industry. So a lot of times when we meet people, they say to us, well, what does your dad do? Is he a rep for somebody? What does he own? So it's like a natural thing in the industry. So it's pretty funny when people hear that we just did this on our own. They're like, why? For what reason? So I kind of, when I first joined the company, and I still struggle with it today, even where we're at now, thank God. I mean, I guess I'm always scared that people won't see my vision and won't understand what I'm trying to do. and that we're going to put in a lot of hard work only to, you know, lose a message somewhere. Cause we have a message that we live by every day in the company, and we ingrain in everyone, try to ingrain in everyone that works with us, with the TOV message, which is to keep providing beautiful furnishings at a very good price. So I'm always nervous, whether it be the tariffs that we're facing now that will hike up the price and that message will get destroyed, or, you know, I'll be off on style and we'll miss a trend, and that will kind of be tainted. So I guess that would be the number one fear.
Yes, that makes sense. What you seem to have done, though, is you took a somewhat dirty word, millennial. It's not dirty for everyone, but especially for the old guard in the design business, right? There's that, the older designers, a certain age group that kind of looked at millennials and said, oh, they don't really have taste, or, you know, they're not quite getting what's on trend. And it seems like what you did instead was you celebrate millennials, you create beautiful pieces, and on the contrary, you have been incredibly successful doing this. Do you feel like there's this old guard, new guard in the design industry?
Absolutely. I think the word millennial used to be dirty, and now it's, yes, a word that everyone chases and loves to use almost like a plug, at least in the furniture industry, like, oh, we cater to millennials, and that automatically makes them seem successful. So I think that the word millennial used to mean a shopper that wasn't serious. And now, yes, what it means is a shopper that people strive to appeal to and to target to. The millennial shopper is honestly, we appeal mostly to millennials, and they're a very specific clientele that really has very short attention spans, and they need to be targeted very strongly with the right information. Your message gets lost much more easily with a millennial customer.
Yeah.
They see right through it when you're not authentic. They like to have they like to buy product that has a message, and a strong message in the product and in the world. But we absolutely love appealing to millennials, because we really believe that we understand them, because we are millennials. And we remember being at that point of buying furniture for our home and not being able to afford anything we liked, and having to settle. So we hope to kind of bridge that gap and make sure that the millennial shopper, the new bride, the new mom, the back to university student, is able to live in a beautiful room and a beautiful surround and have beautiful surroundings without breaking the bank. So I think the word millennial has changed over time, but it's something that everyone is chasing, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny, listeners don't know this, but initially I'd interviewed you for an article. That was kind, yes, of the idea. This podcast was this series of articles on design, which did not get picked up by a publication. And so I then took this opportunity to start the podcast. So I'm very grateful.
Of course you did, honey.
For
this. You're awesome like that.
Thank you. So when I had interviewed you originally, you know, I'd asked you, how did you discover your creative voice? And you kind of credited your creative influence. I'll quote what you said. You said, growing up in a Chabad family, my parents and siblings are Chabad Shluchim, I found that women are encouraged to use creativity and talents in the real world. Many, yes, women in the Chabad world actively pursue jobs in creative departments where they are able to use their fashion and style sense. And I love that, because I think what you did is you're trying to dispel a myth here that religious Orthodox women don't have any creative outlets, don't have options, are not savvy, are not celebrated for their talents. Can you kind of explain a little bit about, you know, what you meant when you said this, or how it has influenced you in creating products and being very creative?
Sure. Yeah, I love that you love that. I think that being from similar backgrounds, we kind of understand what this means. And I think that you're right. The general public does have a very tainted idea as to what the typical religious woman looks like, and that she's shackled to a kitchen or has children hanging off her legs, when in fact there are so many religious women that I know that are just incredibly talented and creative. And I think what happens is, and I've really like thought about this so many times, especially being from a Chabad background, because the focus is not necessarily solely on career, the focus is so much of it is on family and friends and you know, the holidays, etc. You get to use your creativity in so many different ways at a very young age. So you're not going from sitting in a library setting in college directly to a job where you're sitting at a desk. You're having to come up with fantastic meals to wow your guests, which is always really fun. And you get to use that creative edge and tablescape and learn how to make your dining room look fabulous. You have to learn how to dress your kids at a really young age. And that takes creativity, trust me, to make them look, to make them match and everything. It takes creativity. It's funny that what happens to you because you're thrown into, I guess, the real world really fast, a family and everything, your creative edge has to come out. And if you have creativity, it comes flying out in different areas. So I think being Chabad also, and having that focus on women, having a voice and, you know, getting out there in the world and being somebody who makes a difference and makes an impact, whatever that may be in your life. And if you have the creativity, you'll probably channel it into something, you know, with that needs that creativity. It really helps create such a wonderful network of women, religious women that are so incredibly creative, have so many great ideas, and, you know, use your creative brain for whatever it is. But I think that being from the background I'm from and having that push on woman empowerment and having yes. so much support in that way really just pushed me to be able to believe that I can do this and believe in what we're trying to create.
Absolutely. And on that note, you recently spoke at the JWE. What was that experience like for you? And for listeners who did not attend, what did you speak about?
So the experience was really scary. I'm very shy, believe it or not. And I first said no to the opportunity a few times. I did not want to get up and speak on stage. And I'm pretty private. If you follow me on Instagram, you'll see like I do very little of my personal life is not on stories or on Instagram or just, I'm just very private like that. So I was scared and I was really worried about it. And I prepared pages of notes and had many nights of like worrying about it at 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the morning. But what happened was I just discarded my notes after 2 minutes and decided just to speak from the heart. And wow. I just got insane feedback afterwards. People were so happy that I was, I guess, keeping it real because that's what it's all about these days. Mm-hmm. But it was fantastic to be able to be in a room with so many talented religious women and have everyone there for the same reason, for the same purpose of just wanting to get support and grow our businesses and, you know, learn from one another was incredible in every way.
I can imagine. Chaya, what are you most proud of when it comes to your career?
I guess I'm really, if I wasn't talking to you, I would say, obviously I'm proud of our numbers. I'm proud of our growth. I'm proud of our 60% year over year, growth that's been going on. But really what I'm most proud of is that we were able to do this with the lean team that we have and be able to do this with just a lot of hard work and tenacity. And I think that that's a lesson for a lot of people that reach out to me and say, where do I start? What do I do? And it sounds so cliche to say, you just got to work hard, but really that's what it is. Not just to work hard in hours and not just to work hard with, you know, sitting down and dedicating yourself to something, but it's also working hard on yourself to be in the right mode and to believe in yourself. Like you have to work on yourself as a person. When I say work hard, I mean, you've got to look in the mirror and be able to say, today I'm going to fail because you fail every day in something, but you're also successful every day at something else. So, and be okay with failing, be okay with the fact that you may have to try 20 times until you get it right and be okay with that, you know, with that, I guess, the way that works and the way that that's going to pan out.
Sure. So how do you balance your work and family life? You are a busy, involved mom, and you are very active in your business. You know, for many people, they say that's a loaded question, but I'm sure you've got some tips on how you've managed that and how you continue to manage it.
Okay, so it is definitely a loaded question because nobody has figured it out. And if you find someone that's figured it out, please send them my way.
Sure.
But I try really hard every day to obviously put my family first. I don't ever miss a single like play of my kid for my kids or a first day of school, a birthday, obviously never. Any like monumental day I would never miss, but because our business requires us to travel so often, we go to China, Vietnam, India, all over the US, we do it multiple times a year. I'm away from home a lot. And I have amazing, like, I'm a very big believer that you need to create a circle of people mm-hmm. that are going to help you do what you need to do every day. And that may be close friends, but that may not be close friends because certain close friends of yours, they may not be fit for this job. It's going to have to be people that you know are reliable, people that your kids love, and hired help as well. We're really big believers in that. We've had the same nanny for 10 years, and my kids adore her. And when we go away, she moves right in along with Bela, who's also like mm-hmm. the person that's here that's pretty much my kid's aunt. And together, they have a whole system of very organized days that the kids are taking care of. We go away sometimes for a week and a half. So
right.
It's got to be very organized. Believe it or not, my kids are at a point now where they are almost asking me when I'm home for a month, like, when are you going away next? we love each other's company. My kids are my world, but we've worked it out to a point where when I am home, I'm like adamant about this. I'm home. My phone is turned it over, like screen down in my room, plugged in. My door is closed. I'm there for my kids 100% when I am home. A lot of my friends tell me it's so interesting because you're away so much, but when you're here, you're like the most involved mom. I'm doing every single carpool, taking, you know, my husband and I make sure that when we're home, we don't go out. We do not go out. I don't care like what it takes. We have plenty of nights that we have date nights wherever we are in the world. When we're home, we're home. It's all about the kids and making them feel secure and loved, and we're trying. That's all I could say.
No, that's really, really nice. And I love your honesty. It is always a work in progress, but it seems like you've really thought it through. And that's really important. So kudos to you for that.
You really do. You have to work it out because really your kids are the whole reason why you're doing what you're doing. So you've got to work backwards and make sure that they're happy and content and they feel safe.
Sure. Speaking of travel, where do you find your creative inspiration? And what is trending right now? Do you find inspiration through your travels or is it purely business trips? I'm assuming see things that really inspire you.
Definitely, hands down, most inspiring place in the whole world for anybody in fashion is Milan. Mm-hmm. We go twice a year and we go for the furniture show in March. And it's in April. And it is remarkable what you see there. The latest trends and the latest designs, they stem from Milan. They go from Milan to Paris to Germany and then they come here.
Wow.
So being there and seeing what they do and the things that they create is like beyond incredible. But everywhere we go, we really pull inspiration from. You actually have to be careful because a lot of times when I travel heavily, like I have certain months from December to March where I'm traveling almost on a weekly basis, and you kind of forget that you're catering to a US client, to a US customer. So you come back from these trips from like China or, you know, when we go to India and I'm like, totally, everybody loves brocade when nobody does. So you kind of have to be careful, like that you focus on the US market. So that in that way, you don't want to get too much inspiration, but Milan is probably the top one.
Wow. You have reached, I mean, tremendous success. You are at High Point, you have showrooms, you are at the Vegas Mart. Is it called Vegas Mart? What's it called?
Oh, Vegas. Vegas show.
Vegas show. You've been in Elle Decor. You know, so you have definitely reached a level of success that many people could really only dream of. If there were three key ingredients that you would say would make up a recipe for success, what would they be?
Thank you for that. That was very sweet, honey. It's really a team effort. But number one, you must have a good team. Mm-hmm. Like nothing would happen in our business if we didn't have the right team and the right, you know, everything has to mix well. So while we have a great manager, you need, and everyone is important, whether or not they work, whatever level of job that they're in, everyone is an important ingredient to make sure that their success.
Sure.
So I would say number one is to have a great team. Number two, you have to be flexible. You have to be flexible. There's so many things that happen on a minute to minute that you just have to be able to roll with the punches. Like I'll give you a quick story. Mm-hmm. We had, we're running a pop-up program now. We did a 40 store pop-up program this year, and we're about to launch our three largest ones in June in Gallery Furniture in Texas.
Wow.
And we worked for probably 2.5 weeks on, you know, the vignettes and to make sure that they were properly aligned with what the customer wanted. And 2.5 weeks in, we heard that they actually don't like anything we did.
Oh,
so
no.
We could have sat and said, oh my God, do we want to take part in this? But within 5 minutes, we started working on the next set, like not even giving it any thought, because there has to be a flexible element to it in order to just be able to roll with the punches. You don't want to waste time, and not being flexible just waste time of griping and being negative. So we just try to go with that. And the third thing I would say is stay humble, because it's really just your team, God, everybody that, like, really, it sounds crazy, but I really think about it all the time. Hashem is the key ingredient here. And when without that in our life, we can work so hard and just be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And you've got to stay humble, because it's not you. It's, you know, you're a person in it, and you're here for whatever you have to do. But there's so much more to just you being the reason why something is happening.
Chaya, I love that. So true. Let's get to a fun question.
Sure.
Is there a particular design mistake that women often make when decorating their homes? Or do you have a design pet peeve?
Well, you don't, because you rock.
Thank you.
Such a different, amazing style. I love it. That's a good question.
Do you think people are afraid of taking chances?
Yes.
Sometimes?
I think that people, that's so funny, because I really was vibing with you on that one. I think people that stay safe, mm-hmm, really piss me off, because they send me like a room that has a gray sofa, a gray chair, and a gray, bench. And they say, is it okay if I mix materials? And I'm like, I don't even know what I'm seeing, because
it's a sea of gray.
You don't possibly feel happy in this room. So I think people that are afraid to take chances, that's a mistake, because, you know, I feel like design these days is so affordable. Wallpaper is not as expensive as it used to be. You have the most incredible accessories in Target and in HomeGoods. You don't have to be scared. If really it doesn't work out that you buy that $5.99 pillow from Target and it looks like crap, return it and buy another one. It's okay.
Yes.
So yeah, I think that people that are scared, I think that's a design mistake, because you've got to go and like get out of your box a little.
Yeah, absolutely. Are there any trends that you are seeing that you're really excited about?
Oh my God. Yes. There's such incredible trends now. The Bauhaus movement is so big now. I love the fact that everyone is mixing shades of pink. Looks
yes.
So beautiful. Oh my God. And I love that, like, the 90s are coming back with such a vengeance.
Yes.
Like, my daughter asked me yesterday to buy her pink roller skates, like not rollerblades. So I think that the 90s thing coming back is super fun, because it's going to come back obviously with a lot more style.
Oh, I love it. How has social media changed the, design dynamic? I think people seem to be a lot more educated, right? You're dealing with a different consumer essentially than you would have been dealing with 10 years ago.
Because, oh my God, yeah.
So much more that they're exposed to, right?
Oh my God. I think social media, specifically obviously Instagram, because that's like the top. So I think Instagram makes the world a much smaller place. And I think when young customers are on Instagram, they're getting educated on things that they wouldn't necessarily care or know about just through their favorite bloggers. So when they're following a blogger that they follow for fashion, that blogger automatically, when she gets a new home, makes her content about that. So they get an education about that. For example, Catherine from the Ace family, she's one of the biggest YouTubers out there. I don't know if you know who she is. Mm-hmm. She's primarily a YouTuber on, I guess you could say, family and just her life. And now that they bought a new home, all of her, everything going on in her, on her YouTube or on Instagram is all about home design. So 12 and to 14 year old girls are getting educated on home design to a point where we checked up our engagement and we have like hundreds of young girls that follow us. When I say young, they're 11 years old. And I'm like,
interesting.
Why? Yeah. Because they care, they link their bloggers to that. So for instance, we're doing Jordan Woods Home now. She's a like Kylie Jenner's ex-best friend. Mm-hmm. Everyone that follows her are very young, but she's doing a whole piece now on her home. So they'll become familiar with what we do and then they'll get educated in design and furniture. So I think it's, social media is just such an amazing thing. Scary too, it has a negative side obviously, but
right.
The positives are to me outweigh the negatives and it's pretty cool to see how small it makes the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Chaya, are there any words of wisdom you can offer our listeners? Is there something you learned along the way on this journey of yours? I mean, we're always learning and growing, but yeah. You know, is there something you wish someone would have told you or just a lesson you'd like to share? And it could be in any area.
I think that everyone just needs to keep in mind that family needs to come first. I think it's so easy to lose yourself and say, you know, I'm too busy to attend this, or that's, you know, that's like a small simcha or small celebration and I have work early in the morning or whatever it is. And family is everything. And especially mine, who is the most supportive, incredible family, and everything we do have, they're our biggest cheerleaders. You just need to make sure to remember that at the end of the day, they're the most important. And I get a constant reminder because I work hand in hand with my husband every day. We're team members here. We run this together. So we remind each other this, just looking at each other, like the most important part of this is our marriage.
Sure.
So I think that's something that everyone needs to keep in mind because it's easy with success to let success, you know, you have to own success. Do not let success own you. And that's a very important part you need to keep in mind.
Oh, I love that. Hi, I think that's going to be your quote.
Oh gosh. Okay.
It's such a good one. It's true. You don't think of it that way, but things can seem so much more important than family and it's easy to kind of push it to the bottom of your list or your priorities.
Yeah.
Chaya, we are down to our favorites. This is where I ask you some of your favorite things. We'll start with your favorite quote. Do you have a favorite quote?
Okay, so this has got to be from Sophia Amorosa. Mm-hmm. And it's, don't give up, don't take anything personally, and do not take no for an answer.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. I've never met a positive, I never heard a positive quote that I didn't like. But some are better than others.
Sure.
This one's good. Favorite easy meal?
Sushi? To order sushi?
Yep.
To pick up a phone and call and order sushi?
Favorite book?
For sure, Girl, Wash Your Face by Rachel Hollis.
Love it. And I'm reading her Girl, Stop Apologizing now.
Amazing.
They're amazing. Yeah.
Amazing book.
She's also really funny.
So funny. Her podcast is amazing.
Yes. Yes. I mean, so her energy sometimes scares me. I'm like, oh my God, how many coffees would I need to have that level of energy?
So many.
Highest guzzling a, I don't even know what it's, how many liters of coffee that is right now.
It's the large size.
It's a large in America, guys. That's like, I don't know. It's huge. It's like a soda bottle.
Huge. Oh my God.
Don't worry. What do you think I'm going to be
doing?
Give
me a good jolt.
Yes. I'm going to be having a coffee after as well. Favorite way to unwind? Or any way that you know, anything you like to do for self-care, favorite hobby?
I love exercising. I work out every morning at 6 o'clock in the morning in like a Barry's Bootcamp type of place. And that's definitely my way to unwind, as crazy as that sounds.
No. I totally understand. Do you have a favorite design element or furniture piece?
Absolutely. Favorite element by far is velvet. And favorite furniture piece? I love anything Jonathan Adler produces. Literally makes my heart stop.
And you have a favorite color, do you?
I love green.
Green. Do you have a favorite girl boss or role model?
Oh my God, for sure. I follow her like crazy. Glossier is my brand that I follow like a fiend.
Okay.
I DM her constantly. She does not answer me.
seriously?
And I don't want to. Yes. She's a
really
24-year-old CEO.
Okay.
And she is just kicking butt in any industry. Her name is Emily Weiss.
Okay.
And she is just awesome. She built her business to, and it's a $1 billion brand now, from just deciding one day that she wants to start a small makeup organic line. So I'm sorry, she's not 24. She's 34.
Okay. Still impressive.
Yeah. I mean, she's impressive.
Wow. Now, from all your travels, is there one particular place that you love to travel to the most? Is there a particular city or spot?
We love Vietnam. Oh my God. Vietnam is so fun. We purposely make stuff there so we can go there. And we love Da Nang. Da Nang in Vietnam feels like you're at the edge of the world and you're looking out into like the abyss. And it is spectacular there. So definitely Vietnam, favorite spot in the world, hands down.
That's amazing. Chaya, this was so much fun. Can you tell listeners where they can find you?
Oh gosh, you can find me under my covers at night hiding from everything. So we're on Instagram and as topfurniture.com. I actually don't have my own account, neither does my husband, because we basically are our business right now. And
you guys are active on there and you're great at responding. So anyone who wants to reach out to Chaya,
definitely
be able to get.
And you can email me. I love helping with any questions or anything anyone needs. At the JW, I gave my card out to everyone. I'm at chaya@topfurniture.com. Reach out. And if you ever need assistance or help or any contacts or just help manufacturing in China specifically, because we bring in 75% of our goods from there, reach out. I'm happy to help.
Wow. Wow. Chaya, that's incredible. Thank you so much, honey, for joining us.
Yay. Bye, Khan.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening in on our thoughtful, authentic conversation today. Stay tuned for next week's episode and make it a great one.